So, my name is Nathan Totten. I don't like to stand in front of the stage. I'm going to stand out here first. My name is Nathan Totten. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft, which is a really weird job to describe. I do a lot of different things. Primarily, though, I focus on Windows Azure. I work on our cloud computing platform, for those that aren't aware of Windows Azure. Hopefully you are by now. I focus mostly on web scenarios, so I spend a lot of time, obviously, with ASP.NET. I also do a lot of Node.js development on Windows Azure. So today we're going to be talking about Node.js and Windows Azure. Before we get started, I'd like to sort of set the context with the audience just so I know what everyone's familiarity with these topics are. Not that I'm going to change my session. That would be hard at this point, but just so I know what to talk to. How many people here have used Windows Azure before? So maybe half. Okay. How many people have used Node.js? So about a little less than half. So are you guys, I presume, which are you guys here to learn about Node.js development? Yes? Or Windows Azure? Or you're confused as to why you came? Or both? How about both? Is that, okay. Okay. I was sort of looking for a more than the other. That's all right. Okay, so both. If you didn't raise your hand at all, you may leave now if you don't know why you're here. Anyway. So let's dive into it. So what is Node.js? For those that aren't experts or familiar with it, it sounds like a lot of you have played around with it. Some of you have used it, but maybe not experts. So I want to just cover that in the intro. So Node.js is JavaScript on the server, right? Which is ridiculous. It's an event-driven I/O server, so it's all single-threaded. It's all event-driven. You don't have anything like you have in .NET with your thread, new, or start thread, all that kind of stuff. Single-threaded, one process of Node runs on one thread on your application. You can run multiple processes to scale out, but it is a very different programming model than many of us are used to with something like C# or .NET or other popular Java things like that, popular web servers. So it's pretty efficient for a lot of different things. Generally, it's very scalable. A little history about it. It sort of started in 2009. It's sponsored by Joyent. Recently, in the last, I'd say, about 6 months, Microsoft has started to get involved. We've built, for one, initially Node.js, when it was started, was actually only for Linux, Mac, Unix platforms. We actually got involved and built out something, this library called libuv, which basically abstracted a lot of the differences between a Unix platform and a Windows platform, such as like storage, the process models, things like that. So we built that, and now that's built into Node.js. So Node.js it was awful. Like when I first started playing around with it on Windows, you had to run like Cygwin and all kinds of horrible configuration. It was really a mess. Now it is native to Windows. The Node team, with our sort of help, creates a nice MSI install experience. So if you're a Windows developer, you can use Node. You know, it isn't like say Ruby on Rails, which is like it sort of works on Windows, but some things won't work. For the most part, everything should work on Windows. It's quite a popular GitHub project. I think it might actually be the most popular project now. It goes up and down, but super popular. You know, it is an up-and-coming language framework, but really popular at this point. So a little bit about just kind of how it works. A Node process runs on Windows in Node.exe. It builds on top of the V8 runtime, which is actually the JavaScript runtime that Google developed and open sourced for the Chrome browser. So Node is basically running on the same thing that Chrome runs on as far as JavaScript. Your app lives on top of that, along with the JavaScript libraries that you would expect, you know, some of the standard things. You also have additional libraries that you wouldn't normally expect in JavaScript client-side development, such as storage, file systems, processes, things like that. And then you also don't have libraries like, you know, document.getElementById. It's not a DOM programming sort of thing. So that's a little bit about it. Your app runs, again, on the V8 runtime, and you can install all kinds of different modules. Your app is essentially a module to sort of add functionality to your application. So again, this is all asynchronous. Everything happens in an event loop. For example, here, when a request comes in for your web server, that's really the only thing your server, that node process, is doing at that single time. It isn't, again, like an ASP.NET app, which would be doing multiple things at the same time on multiple threads. Sort of one process, again, one thread. So a new request comes in on your server, sort of processes that request. There's a work queue as new stuff comes in, right? So your queue might be another web request, query a database, pull timeout, all kinds of things are queued up. And Node just sort of, oops, I thought there was more to that animation. I think I skipped through. Anyway, whatever, you get my little pretty boxes. Those are very difficult to make. Someone at Microsoft should do some. No, just anyway, I'm going to send an email complaint about those animations. Those are challenging. So you've got this work queue, basically, and your application just sort of spins through that. One process spins through your work queue, does the work for that thing. So you want to avoid, when programming your Node.js application, there are things you can do while developing a Node app that are synchronous operations. There are file system APIs that are synchronous. So you can block, if you want to, you can block your thread and actually make your whole application wait. You really want to avoid that. You want to do all of your programming when possible. I think there are some things, off the top of my head, I cannot remember. I think there are some cryptography things that are only synchronous, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Generally, though, so file storage is a good example. Generally speaking, when you're developing your Node.js application, you will see like a get or read file and then sort of a read file asynchronous method. In your application development, you really don't want to use the synchronous method. You want to always use the asynchronous method to keep that workflow moving, to keep that thread open. So for those that haven't used Node.js or are sort of thinking about using it, kind of what is it for, right? So Node.js is great for a lot of things. For example, a socket server, web sockets. I know Windows probably has talked a lot about that, maybe even in the keynote. There are certainly sessions about web sockets on Windows 8 Metro apps. Node.js is actually fantastic for socket applications. The way it handles a request or an open connection is very different from, say, ASP.NET. ASP.NET, an open connection, generally speaking, will allocate a thread and allocate a fairly significant block of memory, a couple megs or whatever, a couple hundred K. Whereas Node.js, a connection to a Node application is actually just a small heap allocation. It's basically just a pointer record to that. It doesn't do really anything while that connection is open. So a Node server can very easily handle thousands, potentially tens of thousands of active connections because, again, it isn't really doing anything with those connections while they stay open. So it works really well for socket applications, long polling if you were building like an HTTP app that you wanted to support something horrendous like IE6. You could do long polling in there. That was a joke. Does anyone still run IE6? Don't be embarrassed. Okay, that's all right. I know there are reasons. What? On your personal machine? No, I'm just kidding. I know there are reasons why people do it. But we all know that it's not the most fun thing to do. But if you did have to build an application that supported IE6, you could actually sort of simulate like WebSockets by doing long polling, which is basically just making tons of requests that have longer timeouts. And Node.js would actually perform very well for that. It works well for like media servers, proxies, web services, so REST services. It's JavaScript, so it's native JSON. So if you're building a JSON REST service, Node.js is excellent for that. It's generally super easy. It's also okay for some client web. It's decent for some client web UIs, depending on your preferences. There are some nice frameworks like Express we'll talk about that sort of make building client UIs sort of like similar to like say ASP.NET and MVC. Make some of that stuff easier. It can be a little tedious though at times. If you're used to a very rich model with a lot of support like database, something like Entity Framework or Active Record on Rails, there are some things that might seem a little tedious in Node. Partially because it's new, sometimes they're missing those pieces that automate some common tasks in a Node app, particularly if you're just making like a very simple forms, like a CRUD application. And then what Node.js absolutely isn't good for is long-running operations, something like video transcoding, media, editing, compressing pictures, long-running like cryptography, things like that would generally not be great for a Node.js application, just because, again, those are very much like CPU-intensive blocking operations. You would really only be able to do one thing like that at a time, which your queue would get huge. Obviously, your app wouldn't scale. So again, some of the pros of using Node.js. It's JavaScript, which I don't know if I should. I should probably have that on both the pros and cons side, right? I know some people, if you're in this room, you probably don't think it's on the con, but I know a lot of people really dislike JavaScript. But it is JavaScript, which makes, you know, there are a lot of people that are, there are a lot of JavaScript developers. For the same reason that you can develop Metro applications in JavaScript, you can also, you know, you could also take those same skills and build a server application, for the most part, in Node.js. Very clean. It's got a very clean, consistent API, like you'd expect from a you know, a well-built framework. Simple concurrency model. So the things we talked about with thread synchronization actually make Node.js very easy to program multi-threaded apps. I know, you know, depending on the language, like .NET's actually made it pretty easy recently to do multi-threading to handle, you know, different processes with the test parallel library. Sometimes that can be quite, you know, quite difficult if you're just a, you know, C++ developer. If you're a C++, not just, if you're a C++ developer. That's hard, but if you're a C++ developer, you know, stuff like that can be kind of challenging. Because of the single-threaded nature of Node, you don't have to deal with many of those challenges like thread locking, things like that, so it's really easy to do. And again, I mentioned earlier, idle connections, things like that are nearly free. It's very modular. There's a lot of different plugins available. Again, so some of the cons, though, if you're a developer that likes sort of, you know, if you like something like MVC and you just like, okay, Microsoft ships this library, they tell me which the best one to use is, and you know, you use it. You might not like Node because there is a lot of choice. There are a lot of different frameworks available that sometimes make it confusing, you know, which one's the best to use for REST framework, one's the best one to use for you know, some web API, things like that. It's pretty bare metal also. Most of the development, although I will show you something cool that you may have seen already, but most of the development, most Node developers use something like Sublime Text or even just Notepad. So it's, you know, there's not a lot of cool things like Visual Studio, but at the end I will show you something awesome if you haven't already seen it. Again, some app frameworks, these are called Node modules. Connect is sort of the standard middleware layer. Express, which we'll go through a demo, sort of like kind of like an MVC library. It's like Sinatra or similar to like ASP MVC. There's some other ones. I'm going to demo using Express because that's kind of the de facto most popular one at this point. I mentioned a little bit Node.js on Windows. So for this, we'll get into the differences between just Windows and Windows Azure in a second. But again, Node.js is native to Windows. You don't have to use Cygwin or anything awful like that. It is, you know, Node.exe, this Windows process. We've also built out an IIS Node module. So this is a native module for IIS 7 or 7.5 that actually that allows you to host your Node.js application in IIS. I'll talk a little bit more in detail about that. Again, most modules are supported by default. There are some modules that use like a Unix C++ compiler, native modules that sometimes won't work on Windows. Microsoft is working with the community to sort of address those problems. Our goal is that every module on Node.js will run full, you know, sort of as well on Linux or Mac as it would on Windows. So we're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. And again, performance is on par with the Linux implementation. Some things are actually a little better on Windows, some things are worse, but generally speaking, you can run it just as well on Windows as you can on a Mac. So IIS Node is our module we've created to run the Node process. This is the module we use in a few of our Windows Azure services. We'll use it if you run, this is how we host Node.js, if you run your Node application in a Windows Azure website, which you may have seen in the first day keynote with Scott Guthrie or one of the Node sessions. So we built out this module. It's entirely open source. The module actually makes running Node.js, it's actually pretty easy. So normally just starting Node, you do like, I'll show you in the command, but you just, you know, start the Node.exe. If it crashes, it just sort of dies. It only is on one thread. You have to manage multiple threads. IIS Node gives you some of those things. It automatically scales. So if you have multiple cores on your machine or your server, IIS Node handles those multiple processes for you. It auto-updates your app, so you can actually tell it, you know, if I make a change to my controller, you know, home controller.js file, it'll actually recycle my application, pick up those updates. You don't have to stop and start the process, whereas with Node.exe natively, you would be responsible for stopping and starting. you get all the normal benefits of IIS, right? It uses, we capture, normally Node just writes to standard out and standard error. We capture those outputs and pump them into IIS logs. So you can use your standard management tools. You could use PowerShell, things like that, to actually manage your Node.js app running in IIS. And you get the integrated management experience. And the other benefit is if you really wanted to, you could actually run Node.js applications side by side in the same application on IIS as like an ASP.NET application or anything like that. Because, it's just a standard module. You could make like a common thing is to do like an NJS file extension that is served by the IIS node module, and then like .js would just be handled by the static module for IIS. So this is an example, just a simple configuration. It's a handler in IIS. There we can just say handle the app.js. So very simple configuration. Node package manager. We talked a little bit about those modules. Express.js, some of the other ones. There's a package management system. How many people have used NuGet? How many of you have heard of NuGet or used it? Okay, so most people. So, there's GEMS for Ruby, something like that. GEMS. There's a few other ones that slipped my mind. But Node Package Manager actually is a package manager per the title for Node modules. So you can easily install, and I will show you how to do that. You can easily install all these different tools, without going all these different download places like you had to do, a year ago with ASP.NET development. Very simple interface, npm install express. And this also does work on Windows. It is shipped with the Node MSI installer for Windows, so you don't have to do anything extra. You can install it through you can install Node if you're doing Azure development through like our web platform installer. So it's really easy to install and use. Quick example of using it, npm install, and I'll show this in some of the demos. There's a ton of different packages available. Really simple install experience for those that haven't seen an MSI installer. I don't know why I included this slide. For those that don't know what an MSI install is, this is what it looks like. It also has a download link, bit.ly Node.js download, or you can use our web platform installer. So it's a single download Node.js Node Package Manager, gets us up and running on Windows Azure. So enough slides. Oh, don't worry though, we'll go back to slides later. But let's actually go into some Node.js demos. Really quick though, is this what you guys are expecting? Do you want more programming or do you want more architecture overview? Or both, or you don't care? Is anyone listening? what was that? More programming? Okay, that's cool. So we're going to go into, I wanted to set the context. We're going to go into do some demos now. I have some more slides because there are some important concepts, but we will do a fair amount of development. Mainly, I was looking for if you guys said you didn't want to see any development, we probably could have skipped that. Sometimes people are like, I've never done it before. I don't really want to see it. Just tell me what it is. So, excellent. Oh, it gets louder when I look down. So, first off, let's open a new window. I want to use that one later. So I'm using Git Bash here. You can use the regular console also. Actually, I'll use the regular command line. That's probably better. So you can use both. Node is installed in the path, so it doesn't matter. I'm going to do some Git stuff later, which is why I have that open. So let's go to my /c:/session directory I have created. Make dir hello world. So, our basic Node.js application is, this is cheating, but I'm going to just copy it here. Not really. It's kind of boring to watch me type a bunch of lines of code. So, this is our really, really basic Node.js application. Let's save this so we get some pretty syntax highlighting. Oh, yes, valid point. Yes, I should have changed my fonts before. I apologize for that. Session hello world, and probably want to let's save that as server.js. Okay, oh, I thought my machine crashed. That would be embarrassing. All right. Font size. Preferences. Where are the preferences in this thing? Probably in the preferences menu. Larger. Control plus. Oops. Too big. All right.
How's that? Is that good?
In the back? Perfect. Okay. So this is our super simple Hello World Node.js application. For those that have done Node development, you will recognize this. But we're doing a few different things in here. So this is JavaScript, right? It's going to run on the server. The first line you see there, that require HTTP, that's obviously not normal JavaScript, but that is how we actually access, it's sort of our imports, right? That's importing our Node modules, our native ones, or our Node modules. So we're importing a native HTTP server, which is built into Node.js, creating a server, and notice that we're passing a callback, that is an asynchronous operation, calls back when it is done, response write 200 success, and hello world. So not the most exciting server application, but then we are, and then the last thing is we are listening on port 1337 on localhost, and then we're doing a console.log. So very simple, as I said. To run that, node exe server.js, starting running, or server running, and let's go to, I will use IE, 120, let's just do localhost, 1337, oops. And magic. Not really. That is the end. Thank you. No, okay. So we have our Hello World application. Pretty simple, running in a single node process. We have our Hello World. We probably want to do something a little bit more exciting, I would imagine. So let's go through and actually use one of... I'm going to install a module... a node module called Express, and let's build a little Express.js application. So, to do that, let us stop our window there, and npm install Express, and here's the part where the internet needs to work. And it is working, so that's good. So npm install express, node package manager install, and we're installing a module express. We're installing the latest version, the latest stable version. There's also a beta one, which you can put a command line switch on it, but 2.59. It's installing all these crazy things with it. So now we have this node package, and let's just go to the folder to see. How are we on time? 50 minutes. Okay, good. We're looking good. Hello, world. So we have our server.js. I'm actually going to delete that. We don't need that anymore. And we have our node modules. So Express is installed. Express actually comes with some node sort of command or node command tooling. I don't know what the word is. Slipped my mind. So some tooling basically where you can some scripts. That's the word I was looking for. Some scripts where you can actually create your structure of your application, create a default app. So again, this when I referred to Node as sort of bare metal, not a lot of tooling, this is kind of what I meant. So to do that, we install, oops, I need to do the Windows version probably. CD node packages, node. Used to going between Mac and Windows sometimes gets confused. And then bash, which like all have, why can't anyone decide on which way the slashes are supposed to go? There should have been a meeting 30, 40 years ago when they did that. Anyway, node modules, express, bin, and express. So this is actually a script that it uses node, but it's a script that actually builds the structure of your Node.js application. So I'm going to click enter, and the directory is invalid. So what did I do? Node. Oh, why did I do that? That's not what I meant to do. Thank you. It's a file, which means I meant to do this. So it's a node script It's a Node script, so I have to say Node call this. So Node call that, and there we go. That is now working. Destination is not empty. We want to continue. Yes. And this actually then now builds our structure for our application. Let's go back to the hello world. And now we actually have our Node application. So it gives us like some default, you know, folders. There's a style. Yeah, default style sheet, a route, and this application. Let's open this actually up in open folder, session hello world. So that's too small, but so app. So this is the more complicated Express version of our server.js. So this actually is calling Express, which underlying uses that HTTP server we called, but now we're getting a little bit, it's a little richer. So we have this routing framework, we have views, we're using a view engine called Jade. And we actually have this app, and this one's listening on port 3000. The one thing I did forget to do, which reminded me here, don't forget to install dependencies. So that script actually added some files and actually added dependencies to our app, particularly Jade. And so now we actually need to do just npm install, and it's going to install Jade and some Express, some other things. So now we've got all our dependencies. So now we are going to, let's run that app node. App.js. And so this one is, oops, okay. So now we've got an app running on port 3000. Let's just go back here. And Express. So also, not super exciting, but the thing to note about this is, and I won't go into too much detail in this, but now with Express, you have a rich, like, a sort of the full stack that you would expect from a web application. You have your routes, you have a view, you know, you have views, you can even, it's sort of common to do like a controller layer. So this is sort of a very lightweight model view controller pattern for our Express application. So that's unless you guys want to see anything else, that's as much as I wanted to go into in like the intro to Node programming. Does anyone want to see anything else? Yes. That is complex. So I can show you. We can do that. We can do push notifications to like a phone or something, or like to a web app. Okay, there's like a whole nother session on that. And that would take way more. Yeah, that would. There's actually not a session on Node, but there is a session on push notifications, which is going to be by Nick, who's in the back. If you want afterwards, come find me and we can talk more about that. That'll take a little bit longer than I wanted to spend on this. But this is the sort of intro to Node. So let's now jump into the Windows Azure portion of the talk. So we had two demos there. And now we have more slides, which probably, if you've seen, did anyone watch Scott Goo's keynote? Some people, okay. Yeah, I expected not everyone. So you unfortunately have a little bit of repetition, but I will move through it fairly quick. So for those who haven't used Windows Azure, we're sort of in the new Windows Azure, right? Last week, last Thursday, we launched a whole bunch of new services on Windows Azure, websites, VMs, all kinds of stuff, which for Node developers, for myself, actually, I was super excited, and hopefully you guys are super excited also. So we have all these services. We sort of say flexible, open, and solid, right? We've got these, although I'm sure you've seen some issues. It's not quite solid. We're still in preview, so Don't get discouraged, though. It will be very solid soon. But flexible and open, right? For Node developers, that means you can use non-Microsoft technology to develop your application. So we have, I want to cover four different pieces of Windows Azure, particularly how they affect Node developers. Windows Azure, again, for those who haven't used it, is enormous. We have 8 giant data centers around the world. Where you can host your application, and we've got a whole bunch of like 24 different CDN locations. So Windows Azure, huge computing platform. This is a pretty slide, so I wanted to put it in here. And a 99.95% monthly SLA for things that are not in preview, which some of the features we're going to talk about are preview, so probably don't want to put your applications on them yet. And the basic idea of cloud computing, right? Pay only for what you use. So if you only want to run a really tiny app, you're going to pay us only a really tiny amount of money or nothing. So, 3 different parts of Windows Azure. You're all probably familiar with the on-premise. You may have seen this slide in another session, which again, I apologize for. So you're all probably very familiar with the on-premise hosting model, right? You do everything, so that's pretty simple. We don't do anything for you. Obviously, we don't have secret ninjas that come into your hosting rack and fix things for you. Well, maybe we have people that do that, I don't know. So now, one of the new features we have on Windows Azure is virtual machines. This is pretty easy, right? It's your VM running in the cloud. And you probably saw or have heard, we are now supporting Linux VMs. We'll talk a little bit about that. For Node developers, this is great because there are a lot of things that VMs can host that Node developers tend to use, which we'll talk about in a second. We also have this thing called cloud services. Cloud services are very similar to VMs, except that you're not responsible for the actual operating system. You're responsible only really for your application, data, and then some configuration. You can do things like virtual networking. You can have a network in the cloud. You can configure your endpoints and your ports, things like that. So cloud services also run Node applications in two different forms. Cloud services are only in Windows, though. And then websites are the top of the layer, which is what we'll start with, I think, unless I flip my slides around at the last minute. We'll start with them. But Windows Azure websites are the very simple, very powerful hosting model we have in the cloud. This is very, very platform as a service. You don't have to deal with really anything. You just deploy your application and your data to the cloud, and we run it. You don't need to worry about really anything with your application. You don't really even care what the, you know, we talked about IIS Node and IIS and all that stuff, but really for Windows Azure websites, you don't even care about that. You push it up there, you deploy your app, it runs. If you need it to scale, you move a little bar over, which right now is set to only 3 if you've seen it, but once we release that, you'll obviously be able to scale your application up to very large size to support kind of, you know, a huge application. So 3 different models of Windows Azure, and we'll talk about how those affect Node developers. One point, though, for those that aren't, so I'd ask who uses a Mac. Most of the demos, except for something at the end, all this stuff that I've shown you so far and all this Azure stuff works on Windows, obviously, really well. You can use Visual Studio if you wanted to. It's not really great, in my opinion, for Node development, but you could use it. But the point is, most of this stuff does not require Visual Studio. It doesn't require fancy tools. You've so far only seen me use the command line and a text editor. That will be true for most of the talk and most of the once we even get into the Windows Azure stuff. We don't need anything like the Windows Azure SDK that you may have used. We don't need any fancy configuration information that is sort of dependent on Windows or Windows Azure or Visual Studio or anything like that. And again, if you are there isn't anything that's required. However, if you want to use some of our fancy tools, we have a very easy install for that using our web platform installer on Windows, where we install all kinds of stuff, the emulator and everything, so you can do kind of full Windows Azure development on your machine. We have PowerShell commandlets. These allow you to create hosted services, launch your application in the emulator, configuration settings for cloud services, deploy to Windows Azure, And we also have Node CLI tools, which is what I'm going to be demoing here. I personally don't know PowerShell that well, so it would be embarrassing for me to go through it. But there's Node.js CLI tools. These CLI tools work on both Windows and Mac. They're Windows Azure CLI tools. They're actually built on top of Node.js, which is really cool. And you can do things like create websites, create VMs, set your deployment configuration settings, and deploy to Windows Azure. So really cool tools. And obviously, since they are built on Node.js, which runs on Linux, Windows, Mac, these Windows Azure nodes, they're actually supposed to be called Windows Azure tools. That is a typo. Their Windows Azure tools will run on all the different machines. So again, a cross-platform environment. So the 3 pillars, as I am probably incorrectly calling them, with Windows Azure are Windows Azure websites, like I talked about. These work with ASP.NET apps, they work with PHP apps, and they work with Node.js applications. The really cool thing, my favorite thing about Windows Azure website is the deployment time. For those who have used Windows Azure Cloud Services before, know that in a long, long time ago, it took like 20 minutes to deploy them. It takes like 5 minutes now, but sometimes 5 minutes is too long. Websites deploy your Node.js application in literally like 2 seconds. It'll be so fast that it'll be hard for me to demo it because I won't be able to switch to my browser to show you that it's deployed before it already deploys. And you can scale the same way. Scaling Windows Azure websites, you can scale up to one tiny shared instance all the way up to three extra large VMs, also in like 1 second without taking your application offline. Windows Azure websites are also free. The other models I'm going to talk about, we don't have, well, besides the preview, I don't think in preview. The other models don't have a free option. Windows Azure websites are a very easy, inexpensive, free is pretty inexpensive way to get started on Windows Azure. And you can scale up as you need. We support a lot of different frameworks. Again, classic ASP, if you want to get rid of your old stuff, .NET, PHP, Node.js, and we are adding more soon. A variety of publishing methods to Windows Azure websites, FTP Web Deploy, TFS, which we don't care about because we're Node developers. We support Git, which is the one we're going to use. So Git is a really awesome way to deploy to Windows Azure websites, and we will be demoing that. Node.js on Windows Azure, so websites. So now let's see how we can deploy very quickly and easy. We're going to deploy the same application we just made to Windows Azure websites in a matter of seconds. So let me go over to our portal, which I'm sure you've seen by this point in any of the sessions. Don't mind all these other things here. I don't have an empty demo account like the execs. I just have one, so it has all my stuff in it. So we're going to quick create a Windows Azure website, and let's call this teched node.js 4.5, just in case I already made that before. We're going to deploy this to the East region, and let's put this in that demo account. Seems fine. So we're creating our site instantaneously. Oops. I don't want to do this. No, sorry. This is not what I wanted to show. Disregard that. Move back 30 seconds. I want to create it from the command line tools. That's cooler, right? So that's the easy way. That's the way to do it if you like the command line tools. But I actually want to do it, or if you like the UI, but I want to do it from the command line tool. So let's go back here to our console window that is open. And let's stop our web server. So that's why I had this window open, because I wanted to show you that. So I already did it because I wanted to make sure it actually worked. But this is installing the Windows Azure command line tools and SDK on our machine, npm install azure-g, which installs it globally and makes it available globally. So we install all these different Azure tools, and now we've got all the tooling to update that. All we would have to do is do npm, I think it's just install again, Azure. Anyway, so that's the installation of the tools, and now we have them available globally in the console. So Azure, let's just click that, and we see we have a bunch of different options here. You may have already seen this in previous demos. So the first thing we need to do is import our account, which is really super easy. So Azure account, oops. And this you only need to do one time, import, Azure account, help, Azure account, download, that's the one I'm looking for, Azure account, download. So to download your account, signed in too long ago. 1 second. I already have it on my machine, but I thought this would be cool to show. There we go. And if you notice, okay, it didn't actually do that correctly. There we go. Okay, there's supposed to be a node. There was a fancy node page there that I wanted to show, but anywho. Let's rename that to something not crazy. Node demo. Did I not hit enter? Node demo. No. Windows 8. Problem here. And let's just move this to our C session. So what this is here that we downloaded is our published profile settings. These are actually our credentials for Windows Azure. It contains a certificate and information about all the subscriptions you have. So you only need to do this one time. Now we're going to do Azure account import, and then node demo dot publish settings. And so now we have imported, warning, contains sensitive information. So we've imported our settings. So now our computer is secured, it's saved. Now we can do anything with our Windows Azure account from the command line, well, most anything from the command line that we could do from the portal. So the first thing we want to do is create a site, right? Azure So you'll note here that I'm in the Hello World application directory. So I want to do Azure site create hello teched 5, 6, 7, and then --git. So what we're going to actually do here is several things. This command creates the site in Windows Azure using the REST API. --git is actually saying we want to enable Git publishing on this website and set up the folder we're in as our local Git repository, adding the remote. How many people have used Git, actually, just really quick? Okay, so I'm confusing some people probably. So Git's a source control system for those that haven't used it. It's distributed source control, so it's not like TFS where like everything's in the one place. Every clone and branch and fork is actually just like every copy of your repository is like a fork. Every copy of your repository is a branch. So like the one on your computer is a branch. You can push, pull, merge, branch, all kinds of things locally. You can push up to the up to the web. So the thing to note is we could actually have a Git repository in GitHub. We could pull that down to our local machine and then add something that's called a remote to that, where we actually add a remote to Windows Azure. So it can have multiple remotes, which would be analogous to like multiple TFS servers for the same repository. And then what I can do, which I'll show in a second, is I can push that application to either remote. If I'm doing a check into source control, I can push to GitHub or another Git hosting model. If I want to publish to Windows Azure, I just publish to my Windows Azure Git repository. So we'll demo that. So we're going to create a site again and enable Git. Enumerating locations, all kinds of stuff, retrieving. Okay, so my username I would like to use is, what is my Git user? Please provide the username for Git deployment if you don't have one. What account is this using? Hang on. We have to have our published prof settings enabled, which I don't think this, what account is this using? Let's make sure, hang on. Actually, let's hang on one second, sorry. Credentials, yep. So actually, cancel that. Azure create site help. Azure site create help. We want to specify the subscription, so that's SS. Okay, Azure site create teched 5, 6, S and subscription is, make sure I get, yeah, I've got about 50 subscriptions in here, and I want to make sure I use the one that has Git deploy on it already. For that, we will need to switch over to the exciting old portal, Windows Azure. I apologize, I should have had this set already. Let's go back to the old portal. Do not pretend you do not see this. And loading. So we want to use demo 2. Yes, that's the one. Where did that go? So what's happening here is I have multiple subscriptions in my profile. We can actually choose which one we use. We obviously don't want to just randomly push to Windows Azure, so I need to get my subscription for Enthoten demo 2. Subscription ID, here we go. Okay, so we are going to tell it to push to subscription 103. No, I'm just kidding. I won't read that. Git. Okay, so we're pushing this. We're now creating a site to the subscription that I have specified and enable, not get, Git deployment. Is the font's probably too small on that, isn't it? Sorry. Let me make that bigger so we can all see we can all enjoy the fun. Font. Is that bigger, is that okay? Contrast is a bigger? Okay, still bigger. Yeah, sorry. If you can't see the font, please speak up. That didn't really do anything. Font, let's go to this. Let's go to maybe 28. There, how's that? How's that? Good? Okay, cool. All right, so again, we're creating a site, calling it TechEd. We're pushing it to the subscription that I specified and enabling Git. Now let's fingers crossed and hope this works. Publishing username is Enthoten. So it's created the site, and now it's initializing the repository. And you see here it says executing git remote add. And so it's adding that remote as we specified. So now we have to check that or add that to add our source to git. So git add dot git commit initial commit. So we've added our files. And one thing you will notice here is we actually, the tools actually did something pretty cool. So we have this git ignore file. That should not, I need to open this in here to see it correctly. So the tool has actually added this git ignore file. What that does is it tells git to ignore these particular folders. It's saying ignore the node modules folder. What this means is we're not actually committing or pushing those modules to Windows Azure. We're pushing those modules, or we're leaving those modules out of the source control. To make the deployments even faster to Windows Azure websites, we actually download those modules when you push. So you don't need to push those up, which means it saves you time and bandwidth and all kinds of good stuff. It also makes your deployment a lot faster because we have all these caching servers that have all those modules deployed. So we don't need to push those modules up there. And that's actually, let me double, yep, Node Express is there and Jade is there, so we're good. So we've committed just these few files, and now let's do git push Azure master. So now what we're doing, for those that aren't familiar with git, again, we've added the files and we've committed them. They are committed not to the server in the sky. They're actually committed to our local repository. We need to actually push those to our server, and in this case, we're telling it to push to Windows Azure. And now my password is, no, I'm just kidding. Apparently I've forgotten my password. I'm pretty sure that's the password. Yes, okay, I mistyped it the first time. Okay, so now this is pushing my application to Windows Azure. You see running npm, which is getting Jade, Express, all these things. So again, super fast. Because actually most of our application was these modules, not our app. And now we can, through the command line, we can type Azure site browse. And fingers crossed. Let's go see what's going on. We had, that was this one. There have been some slight issues. Again, it is in preview. I sort of expected, let's give it a second actually. Okay, let it hang on. We're in workaround. Start again. Yeah, I apologize. This is, it's been happening a few times in some of the keynotes. It makes it less exciting, but this is a known issue that I can show you an email thread that's extremely long. Okay, that is not fun. We will continue to work on that bug, and I will pretend that worked. So let's push it one more time just for good measure. We are pushing it to the right site. I did create a few. Let's just make sure. TechEd 4.5. Yes, it is. Okay. If you could all applaud and pretend that worked, that would make me feel better. Okay. Let's push it one more time just to check. Yeah, this is in preview, so we are absolutely there. In all seriousness, we do have a known bug that sometimes this happens. We are working on it. It should be fixed really soon. But let me we'll try to deploy one more time just to. Actually, it's really dark up here. Let me turn my light on. There we go. Nice to have one of those fancy backlit keyboards. Okay, everything is up to date. So it's just now that we've waited, let's try this one more time. Otherwise, we won't spend any more time on it. But I assure you, it does work quickly, and when we fix this bug, it will work, and it will be awesome. So that is pushing to... All right, I'm leaving. So that is pushing to Windows Azure websites. It is very cool. It does use Git deployment, and once it's out of preview, actually, no, much sooner, that will work, and it will look cool. So anyway, let's switch back to our slides, because those definitely work, right? I wanted to show you that in the site first. So we have this really awesome thing we can scale. So I actually have this already scaled up. Let's scale it way down and then do it again just because it's super fast. So, never mind. I'm not allowed to downgrade. Okay, so, So scaling on Windows Azure, we can scale to, scaling on Windows Azure websites is super fast, as I mentioned earlier. You can scale in just really a matter of seconds, as fast as it takes to deploy. You can also scale up to go from one instance to what I have here is 4 large cores with 3 nodes. There's 2 different models, which for that I want to go to the slides. And you may, again, if you were in any previous Azure sessions, I apologize for the few of you, but I just want to make sure we cover this. So again, shared instances, your site lives in this high-density hosting model with other developers. You can go from 1, which will give you 1 node, will give you 10 sites for free. You can scale that up, though, to multiple nodes, which means you're running multiple shared instances. You can also scale up to reserve, which is where my account was set, and you can actually run that site on your own server. Where you're basically running your site on that extra large VM. So if you need one node application that has a lot of scale, you can actually run that on huge servers, which I had there, again, those large servers with 4 gigs of memory. So 2 different models, both will work, both will scale, just sort of depends on what your type of application and what your preferences are. So the next thing, we're actually running a little bit out of time, so we have 20 minutes left, so I'm going to go through this quickly. The next part of Windows Azure for node developers are cloud services. So cloud services are what a lot of Windows Azure developers are familiar with already. These are Windows VMs that are running in the cloud. We have 2 different flavors of those. They're called web roles and worker roles. Both, again, will work with Node.js. You can build virtually infinitely scalable applications, supports a variety of architectures, very flexible automated application deployment. But you do have a little bit more, I guess with this model, you do have more access to the operating system. So if you needed to install some custom module, do some custom configuration such as enabling different ports, say you wanted to host your application on port 52 for some reason, you could do that with the cloud services. So more flexible, but also a very similar model support with the similar model. So we have, again, 2 different flavors of Node.js on cloud services. We have a web role, which is very similar to what I showed with websites. However, you have the control over this. You can, again, install custom software, change which module is installed, poke around in IIS, anything you want to do. This is your VM. You can remote desktop into it, do whatever you want. We do support deploying Node applications to Windows Azure web roles cloud services as well. The other flavor of cloud services we have are called worker roles. These run, since the web role is running IIS node, we're running multiple processes, right? We scale for you. The other flavor is called a worker role. This runs a single version of a single instance of node exe on the role entry point. It doesn't have IIS installed. It's not using IIS node. And this is something that's very different from websites. You can use worker roles to actually run long-running services. For example, if you had some background data processing service, you could actually build that in Node.exe and deploy that to Windows Azure Cloud Services. We have several different sizes of those. The smallest is like an extra small VM, which is like something like $17 a month, which is actually pretty powerful if you're just doing some background processing. You could do things like reading from a queue. You could do data crunching, anything like that. And so we have PowerShell commandlets to actually manage those. We have an SDK for those. In the interest of time, I'm going to skip the PowerShell stuff. It's not quite as exciting. But again, here's a fancy diagram if you like pictures. So here's the node web role running in IIS, and then again, a single instance of node exe running in a worker role, but very powerful and very flexible. Both can work. The third type is the virtual machines, and I think these are something that I find very exciting for node developers. Virtual machines, again, as I mentioned earlier, run both Windows and Linux. Very flexible. You have total control of this VM as well. With Windows, you can RDP into it and change whatever you want. With Linux, you can SSH into it and change whatever you want. It supports also virtual private networking. You can connect them to cloud services as well. The images that we have available are obviously all the flavors of Windows. We also have Windows Server 2012. And then we also have four flavors of Linux, which I think is great for, again, for Node developers. So some of the really cool uses of this are two of the favorite servers for Node developers. I actually I use MongoDB sometimes. It's fun, right? Some people like NoSQL. Redis is used for it can be a pub sub service for messaging. It can also be just like a key value pair store. Those both run. Mongo actually will run on Windows. Redis really only runs on Linux. We do have sort of a port of it, but the native build of it runs on Linux. So to run that in Windows Azure, all you have to do is spin up a VM, and I'll show you how super easy that is, and then install your Redis box, open some ports, and then you have Redis, MongoDB, or any other service you want to run. We've got a bunch of different sizes. Again, this applies to both cloud services and Windows Azure VM, so you can go to something really small, like an extra small, in the 768 megs of memory, a little bit of bandwidth, and then something all the way up to extra large. So if you wanted an enormous MongoDB server or Redis server running on an extra large instance, you can do that. And then you can have persistent disks on VMs, not on cloud services, but persistent disks on VM that can be up to a terabyte each, and you can have many, many persistent disks. So this means that you could literally have, there might be a limit. I don't know if there's a limit. But you could say you need 16 terabytes of storage in your MongoDB. You could actually do that now. So that's fun, and which I think is a really great piece for Windows Azure, just because you always kind of want to. The cloud services work great for a lot of things. If you just want to develop an app and deploy it to websites, that works awesome. But sometimes you just need that one extra piece, right? That you need, you need a tweak, or you need this custom installed software that maybe we don't have a service for, and that's where VMs come in really well. So we also offer with Windows Azure a whole bunch of different building blocks. A lot of these you can use with Node.js. We have an SDK for storage. We actually just recently released, our Microsoft Open Technologies released a Node driver for MS SQL. So you can now actually use our Windows Azure SQL databases. The marketing folks just walked in. No, I'm just kidding. Where we renamed it at SQL. It's no longer SQL Azure. I'm blaming on you. What? I was blaming my slip-up of SQL Azure on the marketing folks. No, I'm just kidding. So, you can use SQL databases in the cloud. We also have storage SDKs. There are some other services that you could use, like CDN, networking, media, all kinds of stuff. So we've got a ton of different services in Windows Azure, and many, many of these you can use with Node.js as well. Again, I mentioned we have the Windows Azure Node SDK. For blobs, for tables, and this is the same installation that comes with the CLI tools that I showed. So one package, you get the tools, you get the storage SDK, the tables. You can use Service Bus, and then again the Node, the driver for Node.js SQL Azure databases. So I mentioned these three different models, right? It's really important for Node developers to remember that you don't have to use one type only. You can use Windows Azure websites connected to a cloud service. You can use cloud services connected to a VM. You can mix and match them. You can use SQL Server running in a VM. You can do all kinds of stuff. So there are a few differences though with how you do that, which I think is important to understand. So if you're running in Windows Azure websites, you're going to deploy your website to Windows Azure, and you can then say deploy MongoDB to a VM. The traffic for that is passing through a public load balancer. Because of the way Windows Azure websites works, again, you don't have control over virtual networking or the ports. So that is one of the limitations. But you still can connect your application, then you could have your VM actually do filtering, such as you could do filtering only to respond to a certain port, have firewall rules set up, which you'd obviously want to do. You don't want to expose your MongoDB publicly. So with websites, you can connect, again, to cloud services or to VMs, but that's happening through our load balancer. And then, again, secure your endpoint. So with cloud ser, yeah, you can do the same thing with cloud services. Go, you know, you can connect a WebRoll SQL server through the load balancer. And where's my slide on that? I missed the slide. So the other, one slide missing here. So the other, the thing I wanted to note though is, you could easily without configuration, like, you know, use these all together. We also support virtual networks now. So you could actually deploy, say, like a cluster of VMs or cloud services and VMs together that you actually built up like this big cluster of Memcached or MySQL or whatever you wanted to do. And you can actually network those all together so they're sort of all in the same data center. They're all they're super low latency, and then connect up to those from websites, things like that. So there are a variety of ways you can configure these networking, but it is important to understand how you connect, you know, through each different type of service, websites, VMs, cloud services. So the last demo I want to show, which is really cool, is Web Matrix 2. So for those, and this is the piece that doesn't work on Mac, obviously. how many people have used Web Matrix before? How many people think it's like a toy? Okay, yeah, a lot of you. I generally had that impression too. I in some ways have that impression. I haven't used it too much, but I do want to show you something really cool with Web Matrix that we just added last week. So, So Web Matrix, we now support, along with ASP.NET, PHP, and HTML pages, we now actually support Node.js, which I think is pretty cool. So we have Node here. We have a variety of templates. We have a starter site, which we'll use because it's a little more interesting. We also have that Express site. That Express site is literally the exact site I created before through the command line, only it's built into this template. We also have an empty site. Let's just go ahead and create that starter site, though. My TechEd starter. Next. It's installing the site. And it is also important to note, when you install Web Matrix, we configure everything for you. You don't have to go install Node separately. You don't have to download any extra tooling. Download Web Matrix, and we make sure that all your Node and everything is set up correctly on your machine so you can develop. Cool, okay, it's just another IDE, right? Something very cool about this. We support IntelliSense in Node.js. So this is not just JavaScript. We actually support the intricacy, the particulars of Node.js. For example, require, which I had referenced several times before. Say we want to add we want to access our native HTTP library, var HTTP require. We actually have, so this is not normal JavaScript, right? We built a list of all the native Node modules, and we have IntelliSense on those. So I have HTTP. The other thing is we actually also look through your Node modules folder, and we detect the modules you have installed. So there's a module that's already installed in this starter kit called socket.io. This is not a native module, but we've actually installed this module. The tools on here have actually detected that and given me IntelliSense. Also, it gives me all kinds of cool things. Like, I mean, there's descriptions. Try to hover over that. Let me try to bring it up again. I don't know if you guys saw that. There we go. So you get like descriptions. I mean, this is really rich IntelliSense in Web Matrix. So it tells me this is a real-time app made cross real-time apps made cross-browser and friendly and such. So that's not the module I wanted to install. HTTP, again, IntelliSense. And we get real IntelliSense even in here. So here we have a module called create server and request listener, all kinds of stuff. I mean, this is hardcore IntelliSense. And then the other thing to note is it's smart enough to know that we're not in a regular JavaScript file. So no document, no window, you know, none of the DOM elements. So we've stripped all those JavaScript APIs that you don't really need in here. However, let's go to our JavaScript document. This is a regular client-side JavaScript. Notice with jQuery. So we have jQuery. We're supposed to have jQuery. We have document, get element by ID. We have all that IntelliSense. So it's So Web Matrix is now intelligent enough to know that your JavaScript files in your public JavaScript folder, and also there's some other checks they do, are regular client-side JavaScript files, but your modules are no JavaScript files. So I think that's super cool. Makes especially if you're getting started, I really recommend checking this out. I never actually used Web Matrix until this was available. I like Visual Studio from ASP.NET Dev, but for Node development, this I think is super cool, especially if you are just learning it, because IntelliSense is nice, right? So now that we have, let me make sure I didn't edit these files. So we can run this locally. Magic. Okay, it works. We've got, if you notice, we have sort of a version of the ASP MVC4 template there. So we can run it locally. We also have a gallery of bits here, which it's in here, Power Tools. We also have a gallery, Node Power Tools, where we can install these extensions. And this one was made by one of the guys who actually works on the team. And this one gives you something even better, debugging. So we can now run our site in debug mode. And you'll notice here, oh, that was going to be so awesome at the end. Let me stop. Let me make sure. Run. Maybe it has to be running. Quick debug. Yes, okay, it had to be running, sorry. So this is using, I can't remember what the debugger is called off the top of my head, but it's using, so you'll notice though, this opened in Chrome. This debugger is actually, it's like a really rich debugging client, but it actually depends on WebKit API, so Web Matrix is actually smart enough with this extension to actually know to open it, even though IE is set as my default browser. It actually opens it in Chrome to do debugging. So let's see some scripts, and notice, and these are server-side scripts, remember. So let's go to our app. Server, anyone see server? Oh, there, scripts. We want to open our app. Oh, my mic. We want to open our app file. Which, why can I not find it? Node modules, there we go. Server, that's what I wanted to open. Okay, so let's go to a request. And I wanted to show this, why it's not working. Oops. Home, that's the one. There we go. All right, put a breakpoint there. And back to our home page, hit refresh. Seems to be taking a while. What's the problem? Oh, you put a breakpoint. So we actually support debugging in Node.js. I mean, this isn't our module. You can do this. You can do this on your own, like by doing a whole bunch of crazy setup. But using Web Matrix, we now support. We have all these debugging, all these rich tools. You know, using this module, you can. You know, you can. You've got your stack, your watch, all these things. You can step through it all. You know, anything you'd expect from a rich debugger. So that is why I like Web Matrix now. It's. I think for Node development, it is quite cool. And then, of course, we can publish to Windows Azure. There's another way, the very last thing I want to show you. Let's use this other site that we created. We publish. There's another way we can publish with a publish profile. Save that publish profile. And right in Web Matrix, we can go publish, import our publish settings, and it was this one. Import. All right. Save. No. And now we can actually publish this site directly from Web Matrix. This is not using Git, so if you hate Git, which some people do, it's fine. You can now publish using Web Matrix, using the same publishing technology that's available in Visual Studio. Publish started. And this also supports incremental publishing, so if you just change like one HTML file and publish, it'll just publish that one file. Git also is incremental. It's just a diff publish. So we see we're publishing all of our stuff up there. This actually does publish our modules, because at this point Web Deploy doesn't support the pulling of the modules like Git does, so the first time this is actually going to take a little longer than Git. But again, since it's incremental, you won't have to publish those modules every time. And then let's open our site, and hopefully this one works. Wouldn't that be a treat? Yes. See, it does work. I told you. So that is our Web Deploy publishing to Windows Azure using Web Matrix. Let's go back. We've got a few more slides. That's actually it. We got a summary slide, IS Node. We showed you all the cool things, Web Matrix, Node.js, and that is it. So I'm done. Thank you. You can leave too. I won't be offended. Oh, the IDE, the text editor? That's a tool. It's called Sublime Text too. It's like $50 or something. I like it a lot. It's sort of similar to TextMate on a Mac, but it works on both Windows and Macs. But it supports some like plugins. It has syntax highlighting. It actually has a module for Node.js syntax highlighting and Jade and stuff. I don't have it installed. I like it, but you could really use any text editor you like. Yeah. Anyone else? Otherwise, I'll be around too if anyone wants to come up to me. Yes. Visual Studio. I think that's just who had the bandwidth. The team. It's possible we add Node support to Visual Studio, but I think the web it made more sense with Web Matrix really because we already supported PHP. It's sort of our open source thing. It's possible that in the future we add it to Visual Studio. I don't know. Justin, who's on the team, actually just really wanted to do it. That's the real answer. I know they are. I don't know of any particularly off the top of my head. I have many running in Windows Azure. So actually, because even before we launched websites, we had cloud services. So I actually have a few samples. One of the things we built a while back is a game toolkit. So like it did WebSockets and all kinds of stuff. We actually have that running still in Windows Azure. It's actually at tankster.net. So it's a real app. It's a pretty real sample. I know there are customers using it. Off the top of my head, I don't know, and I also don't know if I'm allowed to say or not. Great question. Where can we find samples for Windows Azure? So if you go to just windowsazure.com, we actually just added, we just updated our portal. I had this open. I meant to show it. Windowsazure.com, develop Node.js. There's a whole ton of stuff. So there's how-to guides. There's walkthroughs. You get links to the installer on all three platforms, all the walkthroughs. And then also we have at the bottom here, there's a link to a training kit. We publish a Windows Azure training kit that has not only, it's right now it's one download with all the languages, so it's a bit big, but it does have some Node.js stuff in it as well. Just windowsazure.com will get you to everything you need, the installer, the tutorials, everything. So. That's a good question. So I actually don't understand all of your question, but the thing that I got, you can actually spin up different processes. There are sub processes in Node, so you can do some multi-threading stuff. I don't really generally talk about it. It gets a little complicated, but there's a process. I think it's called a process. It might be an I/O module, but there is a way to actually spin sub processes up. Yes. Yep. Anyone else? Otherwise, go ahead. Nick. So it's not a Node session, but are you covering Push or is Wade? So there's two sessions. Do you know when yours is? No. Okay. There's two sessions. One is one is Wade Wagner, who used to be on my team. He's now outside of Microsoft. He's doing a session called it's something about mobile development on Windows Azure, and then Nick Harris is doing a session. I believe they're both tomorrow on Windows 8, Windows Azure stories, and both of those will discuss push notifications. And Nick's is going to be awesome. No, yes, go ahead. Quite active. They actually put a release out like every couple weeks, but they have two different. They have a stable version and a unstable version. So they iterate on the stable version like when there's a bug or something. But for the most part, you can depend on the stable version. They'll do like incremental updates that are non. They don't do breaking changes in versions. But like right now, they're working on it's on 6.0. They're working on 7.0, and they do release 7.0 pretty often. But it's unstable. Once it's stabilized, then you shouldn't have breaking changes that often. But you can also, we run the stable version. So. Like actually building your own version of Node? So on Windows Azure, I don't know specifically, and I also, again, don't know if I'm allowed to say or not. I know there are people on Windows Azure, but there are actually quite a few large. I know Yahoo has like a super huge deployment of Node. LinkedIn uses Node for, I don't remember what, but if you just do a search for like LinkedIn Node.js, So it's actually really, but no. I know LinkedIn uses it for a bunch of their. I think it's maybe some of their service layer, but I can't recall. But actually, if you just go to Node.js.com, I know they have some icons and some case studies on there. But there are a number of companies that have pretty high, pretty big deployments. One I do know of actually, GroupMe, who is a Microsoft subsidiary through Skype now. They have a bunch of their backend services in Node.js, and they have like a pretty huge deployment. And they use both Rails and Node.js, but I know they have a substantial amount of Node.js. So, yep. Yeah, and I'll be around if anyone else has anything. So thanks everybody.